Rabbeinu, up to page 174, Simnun Hey. See, if you're starting with a riddle, Rabbeinu, how can it be that two classmates? How can it be two classmates? Classmates, bar mitzvah. So you've got two classmates. One of them was born earlier, but his bar mitzvah is later. That's it. Yeah, you got it. That's absolutely correct. So you can have, in theory, you can have two people. One is born after the other, but the one who was born later, his bar mitzvah is much earlier. How does that make sense? Let's see. Imna Echad, it's a good quiz, yeah? So, page 174, Seif Yud in Simnun Hei. Imna Echad Noilet B'Chavtes La'adorishen, Mishonem U'Beres. So this is a leap year. Leap year? Like last year, you have a leap year. One is born on the 29th of the first Odo. 29th of Odo in a leap year. The Adorishen. So, that's his birthday, that's when he was born, the 29th of the first Adar. V'na Echad and his classmate, Noelad Be'adar Sheni, Be'echad boy, he was born the day afterwards, on the first day of Adar Sheni, of the second Adar. So he was born literally one day after his classmate. Pardon? Yeah, with Shki and all that, Ben Ashmoshes, but yeah, I suppose in theory it could be 1 minute later. Veshnas Yud Gimel anywhere Beres in the Bar Mitzvah year is not a leap year. So what's going to happen? Then you only have one Odo. If you have one Odo, so the one was born on the 29th of Odo, Rishon, his Bar Mitzvah is on the 29th of Odo. What about his classmate who was born on the 1st of Odo Sheni? His Bar Mitzvah is going to be 1st of Odo. And there's only one Odo, and it's not leap year. Bar Mitzvah is not leap year. So the one who was born on the 29th of Odo Rishon, his bar mitzvah is on the 29th of Adar. And the one who was born the day after, on the 1st of Adar Sheni, his bar mitzvah is going to take place on the 1st of Adar, but it's not Adar Sheni, it's the 1st of Adar. So his bar mitzvah, despite the fact that he was born a day later, his bar mitzvah is going to be 28 days earlier than his classmate. How does that make sense? Well, it makes sense. The boy was the bar mitzvah boy was born the day after. Somebody was born in a regular year, but the bar mitzvah was in a leap year. So when is the bar mitzvah relevant to you? No, it wasn't relevant to you. No. Listen, but when you make a bar mitzvah during a leap year, so a leap year bar mitzvah is a non-leap year baby boy born, right? So if you do bar mitzvah during last year's bar mitzvahs when the bar mitzvah take place? Sheni.
Like Purim.
Yeah, very good. Oh, I want to speak about that. Says the Gemara, Umi Shenoilad Be'ador. Somebody is born in Adar, v'nase bar mitzvah v'shnasa ibun, his bar mitzvah is during the leap year. And nase bar mitzvah, his bar mitzvah is only at Adar Sheni, his bar mitzvah will take place in Adar Sheni. So during a leap year, in theory, there should be no bar mitzvahs during Adoration. You have a month of no bar mitzvahs. Adoration should be no bar mitzvahs, because all the bar mitzvah boys should really take place in Adar Sheni. Now, why so? What is the explanation in it? Why so? And it's very relevant with regards to other areas of halacha. We'll get that in a minute. Why so? Why is it that bar mitzvah, he was born in a regular year. His bar mitzvah takes many leap year in Adar Sheni. Why Adar Sheni? Why not Adar Rishon? Why? Very good. Very good. So what Rabbi Kagan suggests is really the way the Mefarshim point out, that does that teach us that the real Adar is Adar Sheni? Does that teach us that the real Adar Sheni, and there's a proof for that? What's the piece of evidence for that? Purim is an Adar Sheni. So you've got to be here, the Adar Sheni is the real Adar, and Purim, Horaya, Purim is an Adar Sheni, and the Bar Mitzvah therefore will take place in Adar Sheni. And Adoration is fake. What? You could call it really whatever you want. Call it Rishi, I don't know. Kelly, whatever you want. Yeah, it's just not. It's not really Adar. It's not the real Adar is Adar Sheni. So that could be that. If that's pshat, then the Nafkamina will be something else. What would be the Nafkamina? Something of the opposite spectrum of life. or rather non-life, yahrzeit. If somebody has a yahrzeit in Odo, somebody was nifta, his yahrzeit is in Odo. Do you, I can't say celebrate, no. How do you say it? Do you commemorate the yahrzeit in Odo? Ish Odo Sheni? Odo Sheni. So that's, yeah. So that's self-understood then. It's always going to be Odo Sheni if there's a leap year. And if it's not a leap year, well, then it's only one Odo. But I'm asking slightly different. I'm asking if there's a non, if it was Odo Ishan. Well, it's a machlokes. According to what we're saying now, if just like Bar Mitzvah taking place in Odo Sheni, surely you'd argue that the Yotz is also in Odo Sheni. But it's not so poshut. It's not so poshut.
I've got two in Odo. The leap year for both.
And
the
leap year for
always the first
Adar. Really?
Well,
they were both nifta in a leap year, any hour. So that's right. So that's pretty straightforward then, yeah. Question is, if they were nifta on a non-leap year, when do you commemorate the yahrzeit? Odo Rishon or Odo Sheni? Yeah, Odo Rishon. So a lot of people, so based on what we're learning now, it could argue that perhaps it's going to be Odo Sheni, because if Odo is the real month, then that's what you're going
to
do. Yeah, so they do both? They do both? Yeah? Okay. Why did they do it that? So it's a discussion in its own. The simple reason is because the Gemara says that we need Purim is Chal in Adar, and with the reason why it's in Adar is because Mismach Geula LeGeula, the Geula of Purim has to be close to the Geula of Nissan, and they have to be closely connected, has to be the closer month. So therefore, it's an Odo Sheni as opposed to Odo Rishon. But it's a discussion in its own. I'm going to say, carry on. We see if you'd all going back to the lochas of Minyan. Avayon she'ovar gzeiras atzibur. What happens if a gentleman? I think somebody mentioned it the other day. What if somebody was over aveiros? And not only that, but he was over on aveiros gzeiros tzibur. So there was a decree in the community, a gzeir in the community, which is pretty rare nowadays. But the closest we get nowadays is somebody's putting cheiram, which happens rarely, but it still happens, or there is a communal decree, a communal takona. Or he just did an aveira. You can count into a minion. Somebody who is over on aveirois, in principle, you can count him part of a minion. As long as, unless it was specifically put in cheirem. So, if somebody's put specifically in Cheirem, I haven't heard for quite a while, but it happens at times that the Beis Din want to make a point, and they actually put somebody, they excommunicate somebody. For instance, that's a classic. So, a person who is refusing, absolutely refusing to give a get to his wife, and she's desperate, and we don't want her to be, an aguna, and he's just refusing either for financial reasons or for other silly reasons, then the Beis Din has got the right, and they sometimes do that. They put their foot down and they put somebody in Cheirem. It only works, they do it very rarely, because otherwise it's not going to work. They do it very rarely. They do it at times. And when they do it, then it's really important that people actually, they know that all the Batei Midrashim will announce, this person, and that's his name, and that's his picture. You know, don't count him part of a minion if he wants to join your minion. Generally, those people, they don't tend to care so much. But, sometimes it does help a bit. So they are put in cheirem. But otherwise, if anybody besides the cheirem example, anybody who does aveiros, you can still count in a minion. So, for argument's sake, if you see somebody coming to a minion, you know that he does certain aveiros, you know that he's not great. You know for a fact that he's taking ribbis. He didn't do heta iske, I don't know. You know that he's a bit fishy with, you have seen him eating in that restaurant which doesn't have heksha. You've seen him buying that, you've seen him doing certain things. So you can still count him as a minion. The question is, what about Chil Shabbos? And that was mentioned the other day. I want to look at Mishnah over here. Mishnah Winsif Kot Mevav says, O Sha'avah Aver, Kosa Prima Godim, the entire Mishnah Mevav. It's about 8 lines from the bottom. Davka aver she'ovar le'te'ovoin. That's not even aver if he did le'te'ovoin. And aver which is le'te'ovoin means what? What does it mean aver le'te'ovoin? As opposed to l'hachis. What's the distinction?
Because of
craving. Yeah, so craving is a good word. He does it because he's really desperate. He's got his taiva. He's got yetzora. He's taiva. Yeah, he's taiva. But if it's l'hachis, meaning l'hachis is if he's rebellious.
I know officially Yiddishkeit requires me to do that. I don't care. I don't want to do it. There's no real type of it. It just doesn't care. That aspect of rebellious aspect, that's a little bit of then you can't count it for minyan. So it's only if So Averis, provided he does it for Yetzer Hara, you can count him. Excluding the following examples. Mumal Averis Kichovim, if he's kind of more of it's grov, he's serving idols, has gone off completely. Oilechal Shabbos Vahesia is always Mechal Shabbos Vahesia. Tina Akum Vahenu Mitzdav. If he's Mechal Shabbos openly and publicly, you don't count him as a minion. It's important. So does that really mean that we don't count Mechal Shabbos as a minion?
I mean, only someone who's outwardly. But if it's in private,
then it's for sure you can count him as a minion. That's for sure. The question is, it's a very, very big difference if someone is Mechal Shabbos publicly or privately. It makes a huge difference. Privately means that he's still embarrassed of it, he's ashamed of it, and it's a classic example of something which is a Te'ovo, and he just can't hold himself back. He's got this Yetzirah. So that is a private Aveir which is looked at on a different angle. It's still terrible, but it's different in terms of counting to a minion. You can still count him as a minion. As somebody has got a shop open, which that's why the Gedolim always very, you know, if somebody has got a shop open on Shabbos, for instance, or he runs his business and his operation is running smoothly and normally on Shabbos, that's a Mechal Shabbos Pavahesia, even if there's Goyish people working there, it's a Mechal Shabbos Pavahesia, and that is why, and that's somebody like that doesn't count for a minion. Mm-hmm. I want to point out, you know that, in Eretz Yisrael, this is a very strong, you know, sometimes you don't understand why in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of the parties and the politics and a lot of that. It was, you know, this can't run on Shabbos. You can't run on Shabbos. Whatever, you know, we don't want the trains to run on Shabbos, the public transports to run on Shabbos, and all. And sometimes people question, what's the difference? If they're not going to go on a train on Shabbos, so they'll watch TV on Shabbos. What's the big deal? You're not saving them for Chil Shabbos. And the answer to that, this comes from the Gedolim. It doesn't come from... It doesn't, because there is a very different, very huge distinction if somebody's done in public or in private. Very big difference.
When they do public, they do lachis.
Lachis, that's right. That's exactly, yeah. So if you want to have, if you do something in public, if the of the formal Shabbos, the Shabbos is formally, openly and publicly, then there's nothing left of Yiddishkeit. If it's done in private, that still shows. I know that. So Rabbi said, but halacha l'maaseh, what does that mean? If you're in a minyan and they, you know, you're catching a mincha 1 o'clock in 2 o'clock in, where's that in the city? Where could it be at 2 o'clock mincha? Deutsche Bank.
Sandy's
Road,
but that's
1:30. Okay. And you can't think it's not, you know, there's one or two of your colleagues there, but otherwise, it's a bit, you know, who is there, you're not sure, Shomer Shabbos, it might be relevant in probably as well in well, can you make a minion out of people that you know, that I know he's Michal Shabbos Pais here, can you count a minion or not? So if it's in private, sure, you know Mishnah says, Chal Shabbos, but Sinai is fine. What if you know he's got his shop open, I know this, he's driving around with his Lexus. On Shabbos, you see him. He's your next door neighbor. Okay, but if he does, he's got your outside. He's coming
once a year.
So Rabbi said, as follows: I want to share with you a Chazanish, and Chazanish is very aloch lemaisa because to avoid any sticky situation, this Chazanish is a real mitzvah to remember. The Chazanish says nowadays most people out there are considered and qualified as tinuk shenish, but they have no clue. They don't mean it lahachis. They don't mean it bad. It's part of their chinuch. It's part of their education. It's part of society. It's not that they don't mean bad. It's a lack of exposure to genuine, firm, good Yiddishkeit, and they're lacking the understanding, lack of chinuch, lack of tinuk shenish. But the Chazanish, who is known as a, you know, perhaps in the world as a machmir, he says, forget it, count them as a minion, don't worry, be nice to them, be kind to them. Last thing, it's a slap in the face. He said, I don't think we've got a minion. He says, what do you mean? I know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you got 10 of it, what do you mean? Not sure we've got a minion. What do you mean? Yeah, I'm not sure if we can count you, you know, because I've seen... He's slapping him, he's not going to come back. So that's not the way you deal with those people, obviously. And the idea is to be generous, to be kind, to be understanding. And that, really, what Chazanish says, that's the... But Avoyt Zahav is a beautiful wording. It says, with ropes of love, you should take them into the minion. That's a very, very strong...
Is it the same Chazanish said about the Sabbath Torah? You can... No.
That's different. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, now we continue with Sifyut Beis. The halacha is as follows. Menudah and mitzdaf minoy selikol davar shetzorich asorah.
Somebody's put in cherem, you don't count him for a minion, not lekol davoshtech asol, for everything which needs a minion, you do not count somebody's put in cherem. So cherem is a different story. Somebody's put in cherem by the Beis Din, no, he can't count. But if there's a person who is excommunicated, is in cherem, okay, you can still daven there, as long as you don't count him as a minion. Unless the Beis Din clearly designated and said, wherever he goes, you don't go there. If this individual comes to shul, you go elsewhere. But if as long as they didn't say that, you see him there, you don't count him as a minion, and you can go there, that's okay. So it depends what kind of cherem they put him in. Yeah. One more point about koifa. What about what about counting for minion? Somebody doesn't keep. One more point. What if somebody doesn't keep in Tersh Baal Peh? This is a question. Doesn't believe in Tersh Baal Peh. He says, you know, I believe in the Bible. That's all right. But everything which the Gemara says, you know, you don't have to take it literally. You know, you don't have to. Gemaras are not. What about those?
That's his philosophy.
Yes, philosophy. He believes in it. Yeah. So that's perhaps more. If it's a shitter, it's a real shitter. It's I believe in the Torah Shabbiksav, I don't believe in Torah Shabbal Peh. That the Mishnah Berurah says, and I'm quoting the words. She'enu moedim b'Torah Shabbal Peh. For kol shimu mum koifa b'Torah Shabbal Peh. Enu mitzav l'kol dov shabekdusha. Somebody doesn't believe in Torah Shabbal Peh. Now all traditions, Mishnahis, Gemaras, and the Messer of the Torah, something like that is actually not counted as a minion. So, Kutim, yeah. Perfect, yeah. Karim, yeah, you don't count them as a minion. That's right, yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. So that's perhaps an important point to know as well. So yeah, you mentioned the reform? Yeah, so is that what you, was that where?
So it's the same if someone comes, he's from reform, he's a reform.
So if he's a firm believer in the reform movement, he really believes in that, and he's all shitter in it, and then I suppose based on the Mishnah Berurah, you could, yeah. Unless you feel it's going to just. I've spoken not many times. Oh, what? They don't know. That's right. It's not that they. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I feel very much the way you're saying as well. I mean, most people out there, maybe it's just the people I'm exposed to. I can't generalize perhaps, but the people I've spoken to, they always feel that it's an ignorance and it's a lack of knowledge and understanding, and it's very much like the Chazon Ish says, you know, bring them in and explain to them and teach them and tell them and they'll be fine. But I suppose it's still true to say that if a person is a real Baal Shitter and he really firmly believes, no, I've looked into it and no oral traditions, it's not, if he really is a Baal Shitter, Koifa Mamash Batersh Baal Peh, then don't count him as a minion.
Also the reform, when they become Jewish, it's not the Torah way, so they're not Jewish at all. Many of them.
If that's right. If somebody, absolutely, that's for sure true. A gyur which takes place by the reform, that's certainly not accepted by the Orthodox Batadinim, for sure. So because they're not mekabel Torah mitzvahs. So
yeah. We have to know if he's born Jew or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but generally they will the better batidin they will definitely request for, and they will request for another gil. Okay, Sifut Gimel now enters a new area of halacha, which was very relevant during COVID, but it's also relevant now still, and that is the concept of so we spoke about. We've discussed so far is who counts as a minion. We've spoken about ages. We've spoken about Torah wise, who is part of the minion, the people. And what we're discussing now is a new paragraph, and that's the discussion of the space, the area. Where do you get to the 10 people? So we'll be discussing what if there's 5 people here and 5 downstairs. You know, you can hear everything downstairs. Can you count a minion? There was a marquee over Yom Tov over here. Five people in the marquee, 5 people over here, you can hear each other. Does that count, yes or no? Or perhaps, what about in the Ezra's Noshim? 5 in the Ezra's Noshim, 5 in the main shul, do they count as a minion? What about in Eretz Yisrael during COVID, it was a very, very interesting shaila. There was the balconies. During COVID, you couldn't, you know, obviously get together. So there was minyonim on balconies. You know, 3 people there, 3 people there, 2 people there, 2 people there. Do they count as a minion? Can you lean like this? Can you say Kaddish night or not? Similarly, in COVID in England, we had similar shailas as well. The the back garden minyanim. Five people in this garden, five people in that garden. Does that count? Yes or no? So these are very, very, during COVID, very extremely relevant shaynas. But they're still really relevant to this day as well. So that's the next halach as well. So perhaps I'm going to start with one with one very important introduction. That's where there's a lot of confusion. Because that's the last seif in Shulchan Aruch, and I regret the last time we learned it years ago. I regret I didn't clarify that at the very beginning. I'm going to learn from my mistake. So I'm going to clarify it as follows. There is two aspects to this halacha. One is the tzilf of a minyan. Tzilf of a minyan means that how do you get to a minyan? How do you get to a minyan? So you need to have 10 people together, and that's the way you achieve a minyan. If you don't have 10 people together, you don't have a minyan. Okay. And that's one area of halacha. How do you get to 10 people? 5 people here, 5 people there. That's called making a minyan. Then there's another halacha. If there is a minyan already, you have 10 people davening together already. So say, there is 10 people here already. There is 10 people here already. But now, you want to daven down there, which is a different area, a different place. They don't need you for the minyan. But you want to do something. You want to daven betzibul. Is that considered tefillah betzibul? That's a different question. So one question is the making of a minyan. How do you make a minyan? 5 people here, 5 people downstairs. Is this a minyan, yes or no? Question number one. Question number two is, okay, forget that. If there's 10 people together here, we've got a minyan. There is clearly a minyan. But I want to daven betzibul. Is it considered tefillah betzibul if I daven down there? Or perhaps not. It's a different question. Do you hear the difference?
There's 10 people here.
So I understand that everybody davens here, surely that's a minyan, and you're davening betzibul and everything. But I want to know, if you decide, or somebody decides to daven downstairs.
No.
10 people here still.
Oh, so you're talking about
a random 11th person, a 15th person, a 20th person. He's once davened there. But is that considered davening with a minion if he's davening out there? Perhaps not.
He can hear and see.
He can hear? Okay, so you're already addressing the potentially the correct questions. Is he about seeing? Is he about hearing? But say that he's next door. He can just about hear, can't see. Is that considered tefillah betzibul or not? So that's another question. It's another area of halacha. That's another discussion. So we've got to distinguish about the halachas of making of a minyan, question number one, and then there is not the making of a minyan, but is it considered, are you mekayim the mitzvah of davening with a minyan, with what parameters are there? So, for argument's sake, yeah, let's talk about COVID. Five people in one back garden, 5 people in another back garden, they can hear and see each other. So is that question number one would address, is this considered a minyan? Yes or no? Can you say Boch or Kaddish, etc.? But the question now is also going to be, let's say there is 10 people in a back garden, but now there's 11th person in the, a few gardens away, in the house, elsewhere, and he davens simultaneously, is that considered davening betzibul or not? Is davening betzibul is a different halacha. So we've got to be clear about those two questions. Does it make sense? When is it considered you're davening with a minyan? And that's a different area of halacha, different question. And that will be discussing as well, Be'ez Hashem. So to summarize what we learned this evening, we spoke about this interesting riddle of somebody who is born after his classmate, but yet his bar mitzvah is before his classmate. That's the 29th and the 1st of Odorishin, respective Odorishin. And we spoke about what happens if somebody is born in a regular year, but the bar mitzvah is in a leap year, so the bar mitzvah will take place in Odor Sheni. We discussed that. We discussed somebody who is over on Averis. He will be still counting part of the minyan, unless he's putting Chayim specifically, then he don't count him as a minyan. With regards to somebody's Mechal Shabbos Vahesia, he's generally speaking excluded. We spoke about a Chaznish who brings him back in. We spoke about somebody who is Koifer Bat Hirsha Baal Peh. Who, what? What's about the halacha? Somebody's Koifer Bat Hirsha Baal Peh. Doesn't believe in Tosh Baal Peh, he can't count with the minyan. Furthermore, we learned about if somebody's putting cherem, you can daven in that shul. And we spoke about the introduction of the questions of place and space in terms of tzilf leminyan, and that will be looking tomorrow. Good evening, Abbas.